How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 15th of March, 2021. I'm pretty sure in real life there's a joke I'm supposed to be making here about bewearing it, but I'm not going to do that this time. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey. Thanks for having me, Kelly. It's a pleasure to be here, bewearing whatever it is we are meant to beware.
Yes. Being wary along with the two of us, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
All I'm saying is that Caesar said much the same thing, and look how that worked out for him.
That's valid.
You know, I think when I think about the Ides of March, I think about the band, the Ides of March, which made that song Vehicle. But yeah, what's really interesting about that is that Jim Peterik, the songwriter and I believe singer of the Ides of March, went on to have another even bigger hit with his next or a future band. Anybody know what that is?
I do not.
It is Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
I did not know that.
What?
There you go. Right? So there's your Ides of March trivia for the day.
Huh.
Whoa.
That is fantastic trivia. I love one of those songs.
All right.
You love both of them. You admit to loving one.
That's probably valid. I just want, Dave, I just need to have you come back regularly to give me more trivia. Because that's awesome. All right. However, we're actually here today, Dave, to talk about your phone. The iPhone 12 mini is a thing that is out in the world. And turns out that the people who love it really love it. But it doesn't seem like there's as many of them as maybe everybody thought there would be.
That's what it. Yeah, I think that certainly seems to be anecdotally the case, right? I don't have Apple's customer sat data, as Tim Cook likes to call it, for the iPhone 12 mini, but I have my own, and I have lots of anecdotal data from everyone else who owns one, and I have heard of no one who has chosen the 12 mini and hates it. I'm sure you are out there. It's fine. I'm not saying this is a fact. It's just I have heard from no one yet. I'm sure I've just changed that. But yeah, most people who selected it knew what they were selecting, myself included, and it delivered on that. Now, what I said I wanted in the moment was an iPhone 12 mini Pro, because the big holdup for me was, am I going to be okay without having like the at least middle of the road camera? I wouldn't have had the 12 Max or, you know, whatever,
right.
But yeah, this has two cameras on it instead of, or two cameras on the back of it instead of three.
Correct.
Would I be okay with that? Especially coming from the 11 Pro, which had three cameras. And the answer is it's been fine. There are many moments where I notice that I don't have a zoom lens, but it has worked out fine. And the trade-offs are amazing. I love the size of this thing. I'm for those of you that don't know, I am a 6'3" man with big hands, and I love having a phone that I can truly use one-handed without trouble. Mm-hmm. It's like going back 6 years, and it's awesome. So I love this thing. Battery life is great. Once I figured out how to get iMazing to stop trying to back it up 100% of the time, which was not the phone's fault. That fixed my battery issues, and yeah, things are great. I love this thing.
Yeah. And I know I have the same experience. I don't know anyone who has one who regrets it or is sorry about it and super enjoys the one-handed operation situation. That's definitely what it's about. However, we did get a report last week that, the production of the 12 mini has dropped, precipitously, I guess is probably a fair word for that. They expect it to be cut at least 70% for the first half of the year. And apparently there are suppliers that have been asked to just stop building components entirely, at least in the short term. I think this is interesting news. And part of it is because everyone I know who bought one loves it, you know, like you, Dave. Like, it seems like everyone that I speak with about the 12 mini has that experience.
But I think it's important to note that no one that I know, and I'm sure very few people who have a 12 mini, are surprised by what it is after they get it, right? That any of the surprise of what it is would have come on announcement day, or when I, you know, when you researched it the first time, which might or might not have been announcement day. But then you made the purchase decision knowing all the things that you needed to know, right? So it makes sense that people, there's the whole, you know, confirmation bias and everything. This is the phone I selected, therefore it's the right phone for me. But it also, you know, it delivers on exactly what you thought it was going to deliver on.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I think a certain portion of that is probably the camera. It has two cameras on the back. And you've had no complaints about them in practical terms.
I mean, again, there are moments where it's like, oh, I would definitely take a better picture here if I had a zoom lens. But you know what? I don't. It's fine. Right.
Yeah.
So let me jump in here with channeling, actually not channeling, quoting my buddy John Keat, who said that he thought a lot of people would be interested in the Mini if it came with all of the features of its larger sibling. In other words, you're literally getting the smaller size you want, but you're not sacrificing any qualitative features.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
That's actually, like I said, the phone that I said that I wanted is the iPhone 12 Pro Mini.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what John Keat, you know, paraphrasing what John Keat said, that's exactly it. And I would agree with that. And my hope is that Apple chooses to test that.
That's the lesson.
Right. I hope so,
too. Lesson, not killing off the mini size. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So another aspect of this is, yes, Apple cut production, which means that by definition, of course, there's always a little bit of risk, you know, trying to figure out what Apple actually is planning or just how it's deciding things based on the information we get. Mm-hmm. But it does suggest strongly that fewer people are interested in that device than Apple originally thought. But that doesn't mean that it's so few that Apple won't continue to be interested in making it. Right. So even if it's a small percentage, if that small percentage is additive, it's good for Apple's bottom line. If it's not additive, in fact, it may not be good for Apple's bottom line. And then it'll be a question only of seeing what this lesson that they learned is.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and fair.
The thing I always think about it with stuff like this, when they're like, oh, it's not enough people or whatever, is I always think of the Mac Pro. Particularly the current iteration of the Mac Pro and the previous iteration of the Mac Pro. That's what I think of. Like, they kept making those for quite a long time.
Yeah, and so it's a world of difference, though. I don't think it's analogous at all.
I just think, like, it's not like Apple won't make something that doesn't sell bajillions all the time. They're not going to give up on it. Like,
the comparison's terrible. I mean, the Mac Pro is very expensive. It has a very high profit margin and is being sold to a very influential subset of potential users. I don't think any of those things apply to the Mini.
No, mostly what I meant was it doesn't have to be something that sells by the metric ton in order for Apple to continue making it. Like, we're going to talk about that later in the show, but that was the part of it I thought was interesting about it. Was just like, Apple does make stuff that is not the most popular iteration of the thing and continue to sell it and do just fine. So that was all. So
yeah, it would not surprise me to see the Mini killed off as a size. I think we know that they did the experiment and in the wrong way, and there's only one way to have known that, and that's to try it.
Right.
But I, like Brian said, I hope the lesson is to try it, to test it again as a pro phone, mm-hmm. and not just say, okay, you know what, nobody wants a phone this size, because that's not
patently true. False. Yeah.
Right. Right.
If it had had the other camera, I would have bought the Mini too, but I couldn't trade the camera for the size. For me, that didn't pencil out. For you, Dave, it did.
Absolutely.
I couldn't. I really wanted to get there. I wanted so much to get there and couldn't do it. So, yeah. So that's where we are with that. We have another interesting tidbit of news from late Friday. I don't know how many you need to make a trend, but for two weekends running, Apple late on Friday has killed something. this last Friday, it was the full size HomePod has been end of life, and last weekend it was the iMac Pro that met its end. We were told there are no more. So if you really want an iMac Pro, you need to get one while you can, because they're not making them. And that's two products in 2 weeks from a company that we regularly talk about on Daily Observations as, why are you still selling this thing? So Brian, as the coiner of the phrase, like, you know, why would I pay this year's money for 3 years ago tech? I'm going to let you take the first crack at this.
Well, I don't think that applies to HomePod, right? Apple has lowered the price for HomePod over the years, right? It's not at what's it being sold for right now, this very second?
I believe it's $299, right?
$300, I think, and it was $350 to start life.
$350.
To Kelly's point, that's not a lot less. It's often possible to get them at discounts, but that's also probably not the point. I don't know why Apple is not going to update it unless they simply found that people want to spend less money on what it does. I know that I wouldn't replace my HomePods with a HomePod Mini. I'd probably go, you know, finally get a Sonos system.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
One of the things I love the most about HomePod is playing music through my whole house.
Mm-hmm.
On multiple HomePods. And I wouldn't replace the experience that I'm enjoying with the HomePod with the thinner sound of the Mini throughout my house, and I'd want the bigger sound. And so I'd finally, you know, I have come to enjoy that a lot, that feature a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
And the quality feature as well.
Well, and options in that feature is what you get from Sonos, and, or perhaps to say differently, options with that feature are what you will definitely not get from Apple, right? They have taken a product line that had two options and they cut them in half, right? Like, there is now one way to get multi-room audio from Apple throughout your house. But it's really important, I think, to note that you, like, all the current Sonos speakers and really anything introduced in the last 5 to 7 years are all AirPlay 2 capable, right? So they would integrate into your current setup, Brian. You mm-hmm. could, right? Like, you're not forced to, like, draw a line and say, throw away all this HomePod stuff, move to that.
Right. So, and I do still want the ability to walk through my house and speak to the air and have Siri do stuff for me. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. And I think that's what the HomePod Mini is for now.
Well, and the thing that's interesting to me about that is, it seems like for somebody like Brian, for whom what you're solving for with the HomePod is high quality audio throughout your house so that you can listen to music but have it be an excellent experience listening to music in your house. That's why that's why going to the Mini would be a downgrade, and that's not what you're interested in doing.
It would be a cheaper way to speak to the air throughout my house.
Yes.
Right. For sure. But now at that point, now I'm doubling up, because now I've got it. I mean, yeah. in this hypothetical scenario, now I've got HomePod Minis throughout my house and Sonos devices through my house. That's all I want.
But if somebody who's using their HomePods primarily as the assistant device mm-hmm. that they're meant to be, that person might be completely happy to swap them out for Minis and be done. You know, or if primarily what you listen to is podcasts or audiobooks or other spoken word stuff, where the difference between listening on a HomePod Mini and listening on a full-size HomePod is probably not going to be dramatically different the way it is with music and the range of sound that you get out of music, then maybe for some people, like, if they have a number of HomePods, swapping them out for Minis isn't going to be a big deal. And, you know, somebody looking for music, then maybe the Sonos is the way to go. So
it's interesting to me they don't find a way to make a less expensive, larger device and continue to sell two devices.
Well, do we know that's not what's happening? And
no, we don't, but I don't think it would be end of life if that was what was going to happen. Well, I think that we would probably get the announcement of its successor.
And that's really what I thought we would get as well, is
well, maybe we will. There's a March event supposed to be happening next week, right?
Yeah.
So maybe this Which is means clear in the air for that.
Well, and that's why I wondered about it, because we should be getting that invitation, I hope I'm pronouncing those air quotes properly, tomorrow, because it would be today. It would be, hey, it's, you know, it's Tuesday, join us next Tuesday for the thing. Right.
How about HomePods that are actually more appropriate for television speakers than the HomePod is, despite the fact that that's how I use them?
That would be great.
Augmented by the HomePod Mini. So mm-hmm. something beefier. What do you think of that, Dave?
It could be. Yeah. I mean, it would not be the Mini. It would be replacing the HomePod. Would Correct. They do it for $200?
HomePod Pro,
or maybe actually more expensive. Maybe
$500.
Going the
That's
other way
the HomePod Pro.
Oh no! You know what? Okay. If I know what it is, if it is something, I know what it is, Ooh. And it's a sound bar.
Yeah, oh. I could see that.
Right, you get the Minis. You put those all over the house. Soundbar goes in front of your TV. This solves that problem that Apple has always had with the HomePod, where like your Apple TV wants to play audio on it. In fact, we had a Mac Geekab issue this week where someone's HomePod was like stealing the audio from their living room. And the fix, by the way, was they virtually changed it to a different room, even though they didn't change the thing. And so moving it out of the living room, wow. problem went away. Right. Because they wanted to use their soundbar that was on their TV. Yeah. But that would be the thing for Apple to come out with, is, you know, a Dolby Atmos, totally, you know, super hoopty, competes with the Sonos Arc $700 soundbar, right? Yeah. Like that's if Apple's doing something, that's what it is.
I like that thinking. Quick question, because I'm sure Kelly's about to start ringing us out.
I am.
Like, you know, there's definitely a part of me that like wants to go buy like, you know, 5 HomePods to have in backup, but I have a feeling that there's a chance that they will stop working long before they break.
That's an excellent presumption.
Do you think?
Yeah. I wouldn't invest in a HomePod ecosystem today
any harder than you already have, I'll say.
Right. Yeah.
And Apple could just stop letting these do their thing.
Yeah. That's true.
It would be many years, I think, before mm-hmm. they would do that. So,
yeah. Right,
well, yeah. I mean, look how long we got updates to the airport utility and all of that, you know, and they discontinued those ages ago. So, like, yeah, I think you've got some time left on this, Brian. I just thought it was interesting. Like I said, you know, we've talked here about Apple continuing to sell the thing that's underpowered, that hasn't been updated in years, that could really use a refresh. On and on and on. And last week they killed the iMac Pro, and this week they killed the full-size HomePod. So we'll have to see if anything comes next. Maybe tomorrow when we record, we will get an opportunity to talk about the invitation that came. Hopefully we will have that. I don't know. If you have any ideas about this, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Thank you to Brian and Dave for being here today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.